will come to the community prayer on Saturday. So instead of meeting here at church, I'm inviting you to Alicia and I's home. I'm going to make a fire. We'll put the fire on and the insert, nice wood-burning heat that gets into your bones, comfortable couches, caffeine so you don't fall asleep at the Keurig machine. So from the next couple Saturdays that we have our fasting day, we're going to meet at the Gruen's house. Okay, Super Bowl today, is that right? I hear such things anyway. I mean, I don't have my head buried in the sand, just mostly. If you're going to watch it, make sure that you do it together with people you love and say a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing over that time when you sit down to have that fun event together. And even better, there is a revival prayer happening at the building at 5 p.m. for those who want to be here and be involved in that. Well, let's get into our church memory verse this morning. How is it going with the memory verse? Can you fill in all of the blanks up there? If you can't, this is going to sound a little weird. And don't say the word if you know it. We're just let that silence there to give people a chance to kind of let the words bubble up again. So love is, it does not, it is not easily, it keeps no of, love does not delight in, but rejoices with the, it always, love never fails. So did you get that? If you've been working on it, those words were popping in there. If you haven't, it sounds like I have something wrong with my speech. Love is patient. Say it together with me. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Such good words. Well, I'm talking about one of the most important spiritual lessons that Jesus spent time talking to his disciples about. And that lesson that he was trying to instill in his disciples is this: the importance of perseverance and the importance of persistence. The will to stick with Jesus no matter the circumstances in life. Learning from our victories, learning from our mistakes, learning the value of repentance when we make a mistake, learning how to keep going even when we're not feeling it, and learning to become a living sacrifice that to the point that we live a life that grows and matures other disciples, and we actually become the blessing of Jesus and the light of Jesus, a light in this world to the people around us. Well, we are commanded to continue to keep growing. That means in this Christian walk, if we've been static for a long time, there's something terribly wrong with that. We are meant to keep growing in our knowledge and our understanding, our love, our persistence, our service, all of these things we are meant to grow in. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in it, Peter commands us. In this context, in 2 Peter here, he puts this forth, this idea of spiritual growth and maturing as a protection for the church being carried away, he says, from false teaching or those who have bad motives. As we mature and in our perseverance, in our knowledge and learning of Christ and what He's about, it saves us from a lot of foolishness in this world. Well, sometimes you get an idea. I'm talking about discipline, right? A disciplined approach to the Christian life. Sometimes it's not always fun and easy when it begins either. We know that the world's tough. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus was very plain about that in John's Gospel. But I would say that very few things in life that are worth doing are pleasant in their early stages. Do you understand what I'm saying with this? Okay, for example, someone learning to play the violin. Is that pleasant to listen to in its early stages? Or an alto saxophone? Is that pleasant to listen to in early stages? And yet, through time and practice, and as a person begins to master something, a discipline that they're involved in, went to Ian's game the other day, and I noticed from last year to this year that those little kids are better at basketball than they used to be. And it's kind of fun to watch the improvement. But it's chaos in the early stages. It's not coordinated, it's not beautiful, but it's fun to watch. And even things like the Christian life. I hope you've been stretching yourself in your prayer. I hope this time that we've been setting aside for fasting on Saturdays, that's been a stretch for you and you've been learning things. It's not always easy in the beginning stages of learning something. Well, to grow in any discipline, it's going to involve persistence and it's going to involve sacrifice. And I will say that discipline is not opposed to grace. This is all grace we received. To learn the life of prayer, that's the grace of God. But that doesn't mean you don't work. It's all we receive it as a gift of grace. And we don't earn our salvation. It's all a gift from the Lord. To confess the lordship of Jesus Christ and to be baptized into the body of Christ, it is not the end of your spiritual journey. It's just a beginning. It's just a beginning. And we need to have a vision bigger than, well, I've done what I was supposed to do. I've been baptized. I've said this publicly to the believers in the church. I've done everything now I need to do to be saved. And I'm glad I got that out of the way. Now I guess I'll just go back to, you know, doing my own thing until I die. That didn't quite sound right, but hopefully you got the sentiment of that. That the bigger part of our life, this adventure of discipleship, it's there for us, and we're being invited into it, and there's a richness there. Well, here's the premise of my sermon. I'm just going to give it to you so you kind of understand where you're coming from, Calvin. What are you talking about, Calvin? I believe this. To live a spiritually fruitful life for God, it's going to take growth in persistence. And so the things I want to talk to you over the course of these next 2 weeks are persistence in forgiveness, and that as that relates to community in the church, persistence in service, persistence in prayer, and persistence in humility. These are all themes that Jesus kind of addresses in Luke's Gospel. Well, one of the first and most important lessons Jesus taught His disciples was how to handle offenses and how to forgive and the importance of forgiveness. Here's the truth. Whenever a community of people are gathered together including and probably especially in a church. Offenses are inevitable, and we should not be surprised if we get our feathers ruffled a little bit now and again. We should not be surprised if we find something offensive now and again. Disciples of Jesus are typically people of rather strong conviction. We have strong ideas about what is right and what is wrong. We have strong ideas of the best way to go about doing things. And it's really precisely because we care so much that sometimes we can get our feathers ruffled. It is precisely because we care so much that sometimes we ruffle other people's feathers, maybe not even intentionally. But sometimes we do just go too far, or someone does go too far in things. We say too much, or we just plain mess up in some way. And really, a part of the community of called out ones, or ecclesia, you're going to have to learn to both seek forgiveness and give forgiveness if we're going to be a true community, if we're really going to be the family of God, if we're going to be close enough that we actually annoy each other from time to time. So in Luke chapter 17 and 18, Jesus begins a series of parabolic teachings on perseverance. And he begins with this clear word on forgiveness. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Forgive. He couldn't be more clear and straightforward. Here's what my buddy Dallas says. This idea of confronting someone or giving corrective feedback is not commonly practiced or even taught as a part of our life in community. Instead, if a brother or sister sins against us, we tend to go off into a corner and feel sorry for ourselves. Or sometimes we go on the attack. But truthful and faithful correction is a part of the strenuous life of abiding in the way of Christ. I just thought he said that so well, and that was a helpful word for me. This doesn't mean that we're mean about confronting people about honest issues that we have. We have to be honest when something is dysfunctional or there is a threat to the unity of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul understood this well. He said these words in Galatians, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." What's the goal in this? It's always building relationship. It's always for a person to grow and thrive and do better. Well, this isn't necessarily fun to do, but it's part of what real community is. So what does it mean to forgive someone? What does it mean if I forgive somebody? Forgiveness is choosing not to hold an offense against someone. I'm no longer rubbing their nose in it all the time, and I'm not making them pay for it in the way I'm treating them or I'm behaving toward them. In fact, when the disciples ask Jesus about this and he says these words, they think, this is impossible. This is a hard thing, forgiveness. And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. Grow our faith. If another believer sins, rebuke that person, then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks, asks forgiveness. You must forgive. Lord, increase our faith. Because it sounds like we're letting those rascals off the hook. See, forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It sounds hard to us, but it really is a wonderful thing. And we don't forgive to manipulate others. We forgive because it is good to forgive. We forgive because God commands it. We forgive because He has forgiven us. See, the results of forgiveness are good for you regardless of what the other person does. And it's commanded by God. So even if a person is insincere or unrepentant, there are still ways you can learn to forgive them. And it means we have to surrender our need to fix that person or get back at that person or set them straight. Sometimes we have to put it on God's tab. I'm going to forgive and not hold this against them. Because You have forgiven me, Lord. So these are hard words for the disciples to hear. And they say, increase our faith. Persistence in forgiving takes faith. It takes great faith. That's trust in God. To let Him handle the situation and trust that He will. In fact, when we learn forgiveness, and we exercise forgiveness, it grows our faith. And it opens the door for us to move past superficial relationships that plague most American churches today. So many of us, we distance ourselves from other people. Because other people are not always easy. And other people don't always do what they're supposed to do. And when we withdraw our hearts and build walls between each other, it's killing our fellowship. It's destroying our community. But if we, as the body of Christ, embrace regular forgiveness. If we regularly repent, if we are regularly reconciled, and we learn in this process, and community grows. See, the Holy Spirit is so interested in this. And He gives this gift of unity. But it takes persistence and forgiveness as part of that equation as well. Churches suffer because we try to keep relationships shallow. We manage other people. We want to protect our hearts from getting hurt. We're tempted to hold a list of grievances against our debtors. And yet we pray this prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All right, second point for this morning, persistence in service. Persistence in service is always going to go beyond the minimum requirements. So I'm going through the motions, I'm ticking the boxes. You know, I'm here, I'm observing, but I've got no skin in the game. You got skin in the game here in the Eugene Church of Christ? That's the invitation. Persistence in service. A lot of immature Christians never take initiative and creative responsibility for pursuing God, much less obeying His commandments. It's so easy to just sit back and be a religious consumer. And you're ticking the boxes, and it's ever shrinking. You're in the demands of this world, in the pull of this culture. What you have available to God, for God, it seems to be like carved down. And it's forever shrinking. And at what point do you make a stand for Jesus Christ? At what point do you say, no, I'm going to let these other things go because this is important. And I'm going to be here and I'm going to be a part of what's going on here. But if we sit back with an attitude of, well, God knows where to find me. If He wants me, He knows where I am. And we just excuse ourselves so easily of any kind of responsibility to take initiative. Jesus says these words, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. We might think this sounds harsh from our perspective. But this was a normal expectation of servanthood in Jesus' day. A master expecting a servant to serve was not unreasonable in that environment, in that time. But what was Jesus saying? What's Jesus' point with this? I think it's this. If you're just ticking the boxes and doing the minimum requirements, well, I show up at church. Do you really expect special recognition for that? Let me make this personal. Sorry, this will be a little painful. It's okay. Calvin ego, it'll be okay. As a younger married man, I wasn't always fair about the division of household chores and helping out with things. And when I actually would do something, I didn't just expect Alicia to notice. I expected some attaboys from that. I mean, to the level of, it's time to throw Calvin a parade. Did you notice when I made myself a snack that I cleaned up after myself? Aren't I a good boy? It's been a month, but of me leaving messes, but. So Jesus goes on and he says this, in the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. What does that mean? It means no matter how good you think you are and what you have done, it is God who has been the greater servant in your life. It is God who's gone the extra mile. It is God who has never turned away and forsaken you, even when you've turned your back on Him. Jesus is inviting you to consider what kind of servant would a master thank. If he's not thanking the one who's doing what he's told, who's doing the minimum requirements in checking off the boxes, the one dragging his feet, waiting around to be told what to do next. If he doesn't thank that kind of servant, what kind of servant does the master thank? The kind of servant who will be thanked by the master is the one who does those things that will be useful and pleasing to the master without being told. You know what the Heavenly Father has asked of you. You know His mission and His purpose in this world. Your faith will grow when you realize that you are an unprofitable servant. And you strive to do more, and you strive to keep going, and you strive to serve even when serving is hard. God wants to help us grow and mature, and sometimes He does this by being quiet and allowing us to make our own choices based on our deepening relationship with Him. That's when we discover what we truly are before God. The Lord didn't make us to be sycophants or robots who simply stand around taking orders. God called us to be men and women who live in this world to do something. That's the vision of a co-laborer with God and a friend of God. God's partner. God's friend. We're not sitting around waiting to be told what to do. We're finding ways to serve, and we persevere in it. Because we want to be the kind of servant who is profitable for our master, who brings value and understands the master's heart. So the question we need to ask is this. Are you in business with God? Are you a co-worker of God? Are you in a partnership with God? Are you a friend of God? So what I think that practically means in our context is this. Have I become a servant of the things that were important to God? Did you know the church is important to God? Am I a servant in this place, or am I just a religious consumer? Do you know your neighbor is important to God? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Or are you just busy trying to keep up and love your own and your own family? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you busy worrying about all the things the pagans run after? What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? The profitable servant isn't the one who just knows the commands. It's the one who has persistence in obeying them. Again and again and again. And really, what we're invited into is friendship with God, co-working together with God. And it's not a burden. It's what we were made for. And it is the yoke that we enter into to find rest for our souls. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Jesus made it clear. You are not in the dark about God's purposes in this world if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. God is on a mission. The Holy Bible is very clear about God's character, about His purposes and His plans. But even more, those of us who belong to the Lord have firsthand experience of God's desires and plans because of the Holy Spirit living in us, visiting us, sharing the desires and purposes of God as He turns our hearts into His temple and cleans us out. And I would say if you're not involved in the work of God, if you're not involved in the mission of God, it's not because you don't know about it. It's because you've chosen to do other things. In some way, you have said, I have more important things I need to be doing right now. And we've prioritized these other things above seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To fight against that, to fight against those selfish urges, to fight against that wanting to distance ourselves and not, and keep shallow relationships, we need to persist. Persist in forgiveness, persist in service, and then we're going to talk about persistence in prayer and humility next week. That's going to kind of pull this whole section from Luke's gospel together for us. It's not always easy. And nothing ever is in the beginning. But some of us can attest to the goodness of the life of discipleship of Jesus Christ. And our last word this morning, we'll let it be from James, who says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's hard to think of the difficulties of learning to be a disciplined disciple as a joyful thing, but it is. And it's the fruit of that kind of life speaks for itself. Well, if you have needs this morning, we always offer an invitation to put the Lord on in baptism, to receive prayers, or if you share concerns, you can find me up front here. And you can come up and let me know about how we can help you. That would be great. But let's go ahead and you can stand and Jonathan will lead our invitation song.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, teach your children to stop the fighting. Start uniting all as one. Let's get together, loving forever. Sanctuary for you. Oh, it was you, Lord, who sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, for every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. You find me with your own hand.
All right. Our sister Cecilia comes forward. You know, days of prayer that we've been doing, we are seeing some breakthroughs starting to happen. You know Cecilia. You love Cecilia. She has been estranged from her daughter, Lindsay, for 10 years. And they're talking again. We just want to thank the Lord for that and ask for more. Lord, we love our sister, and we pray that you continue to build her up and encourage her. Bless her relationship with Lindsay. Just help that to grow, and Lord, take care of them all. And Lord, just continue to open those doors and open hearts, and may it lead to you. And Lord, we just praise you for bringing this healing and reconciliation, and we ask for more of it, Lord. We ask for more breakthroughs in this time. And we ask for your Spirit to accomplish great things on our behalf. We love our sister, and it's our joy to share such happy news together as a family. Lord, continue to build us up in love, and may you be glorified as the glorious one among us who just comes and makes everything in our lives better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glad you're here. We want to welcome all of our visitors this morning. Please let us say hi after the service. And can you fill out the envelope at the end, behind the chairs, and so we can get to know you. Make sure you read the bulletin. It's got all the information of the church, what's going on, who we're praying for. We have another list out in the foyer of more people to pray for. There's a few things like remember the prayer groups meeting every day of the week, and Sunday at 9:30 we have our Bible class. Monday groups hosted by the Groen, and the Foreman's at 6 o'clock in the evening. Karina Staley experienced burns on her face and eyes, but I see she's here today, so I'm glad she's doing better. Thank God. Keep praying for her. And Shauna hurt her knees, so pray for her as she heals up and gets better soon. You still need some nursery helpers during the worship. See Sheila if you're interested in that. And a few of the prayer requests. Dorothy Keyes has been released from the hospital and is staying with her daughter, Pam, for a few weeks. She's doing better. Nancy Clark fell this week and requests prayers for better health. And Debbie Harris requests prayers for her health. Roy Guzman, Gary and Brenda Wellhoff, Millie Nickerson, Helen Boyd for better health, and Linda Hunt, recovering from back surgery, and health for Marina Hansen and her pregnancy. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, watch over our congregation here. Be with those who are sick, and be with those who are sick physically and those who are spiritually sick. Bring them back to us, if it be your will. Be with us through this week, and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we had a congregational meeting, and Mike left out maybe a couple of things on the finance. So if you're interested in that, meet with him over here after worship, and he'll go over a few things with you. Thank you.
Like he said, revival prayer is still going on tonight. If you'd like to, Tebow, the celebrity, is talking about bargain TVs, you can come. And if not, you should come regularly anyways. And so we can stand for this closing song. I think this song sort of goes with what's on our minds, because God's call for your life is a team sport, and we're on each other's team and the winning team. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All right, have a blessed week.